Christmas Eve. Pushing a trolley load of toilet rolls, factory worker Len Spud joins a colleague by a conveyor belt.
Hey, Julie.
Oh, hey. Happy Christmas, Len.
Oh.
I'm sorry we couldn't afford Christmas cards this year.
Oh, thanks, love. At least we get our bonus today.
Julie grins excitedly. Then a bearded man in overalls stands on a chair.
The Dry Wipe Toilet Tissue Company want to say thank you for all your hard work this year. So, as a token of our appreciation, we'd like to give you a dozen of our finest bog rolls. Merry Christmas.
Len exchanges disappointed glances with Julie, then steps forward and looks at the foreman with a pleading expression.
I can't even afford to buy a present for my son.
Do you want them or not?
He hands loo rolls to Len, then to Julie and the others.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, keep your chin up, Len. Things will get better.
Well, they can't get any worse.
Len stops and turns to Julie.
Happy Christmas.
And to you.
They lean in for a hug, but end up bumping bags of toilet rolls. And when Len looks up, Julie's walked away. He sighs, looking deflated. A bird's eye view of factory yards and buildings becomes an animated watercolour illustration. Billionaire Boy. Written by Kevin Cecil and David Walliams. Producer Joanna Hanley. Director Matt Lipsey. John Thompson. Elliot Sprakes. Warwick Davis. Catherine Tate. James Fleet. Rebecca Front. Nathan Waite. David Walliams and Bryn Turfall. Three boys are playing in the street outside a row of terraced houses. As Len approaches carrying his loo rolls, a red-haired lad breaks away and runs into his arms.
Christmas might not be that fancy-schmancy this year, son.
Don't worry, Dad. Come on, I'll put the kettle on.
See you later, boys.
See you, lads.
As the boys run off, Len pulls his keys from his coat pocket and heads through the front door of a small red brick house, followed by his son. Sitting on a sofa by the fireplace in the front room, Len unwraps a glossy supercars calendar.
Oh. Thanks, Joe.
It's last year's. Got it for £1. Sorry, Dad.
Don't be. Hey, I love it. Here.
He hands Joe a present.
Happy Christmas, Joe.
A toilet roll space rocket.
I made it for you.
Yeah, I can see.
Best put Christmas dinner on.
In the kitchen, Len opens the fridge freezer and takes out an open box of turkey burgers. He tips it up and a solitary burger falls into his hand. Shutting his eyes, he sobs.
I'll get you a proper present next year, Joe, I promise. I don't know where I'll find the money from, but I promise.
Standing alone by the sink, Len reaches for a loo roll to dry his eyes. Len looks down at the folded sheets in his hands.
Dry on one side. Moist on the other. Absorbent and refreshing. That's it. That's it. This is the future of bum wiping.
He rejoins Joe.
I've invented a new bog roll!
What?
Yes! Moist on one side, dry on the other.
That's brilliant, Dad!
I know! Your dad's a genius! All I need now is to come up with a name for it! Wet bottom? Happy cheeks!
Bumfresh?
Bumfresh! I love it! This is gonna be the biggest thing to hit the toilet roll world since Aloe Vera! Don't worry, son. Next year we'll have a proper Christmas. Next year, things will be different.
In what can only be described as an overnight sensation, Bumfresh has outperformed all other competitors.
They're calling it the biggest British invasion since One Direction.
Bumfresh is sensei. It's almost
complete. The Bumfresh
goal. Newspaper headlines. A red line showing sales of Bumfresh going off the chart. Then Len and Joe in a stately home called Bumfresh Towers.
We've got cooks, gamekeeper, gardener, maids, groom, in case we get an horse, to name but a few. Now, I'm not got us any old butler. I've got us a celebrity. And I know how much you love Harry Potter, so guess who I've hired?
Harry.
No.
Dumbledore.
No.
Voldemort.
Uno.
Draco.
Can I stop you there? There's lots of characters in them films. So I've made Warwick Davis an offer his bank manager couldn't refuse.
Brilliant.
Warwick appears.
Oh, hello.
You were Phileas Flitwick and Gliphook.
Was also an Ewok in Star Wars.
Let's just keep it to Harry Potter, shall we? I've got you every video game you've ever wanted. 100 pair of trainers. Your own go-kart track. A 24-hour donut dispenser. Table football.
What's that?
That! A water slide into the swimming pool.
Wow.
Hang on. You might want to put your...
Joe slides through the house in a long tube.
Trunks on first.
After landing in an indoor pool surrounded by statues and ornate stonework, Joe swims to the side. A gleaming white executive saloon pulls through a housing estate, with Warwick at the wheel in his butler's uniform. He glances at Joe in the rearview mirror.
Good day at school, Master Spud?
It was awful.
Your father won't be happy. St. Cuthbert's is the most expensive school in the country.
I just don't fit in there.
Why not?
They look down on me. Call me names.
Do they? Like what?
Bottom billionaire, master plot paper, bum white boy.
Well, children can be cruel.
That were the teachers. I wish I could just go to a normal school.
Leave it with me, young Master Spud. Oh, and I believe congratulations are in order. Happy birthday.
I'm glad someone remembered.
At Bumfresh Towers, a maid dusts a powerful-looking motorbike while Len's sitting nearby, tapping away at a gold-coloured laptop. Joe comes in wearing his school uniform and stands by his father's desk.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, son.
Have you forgotten something?
No. I still remember we're rich.
Dad, it's my birthday today.
Yes, yes, I knew that. That is why I was going to surprise you.
He writes out a check and hands it to Joe.
Happy birthday, son.
£1 million?
Yeah, that way you can buy yourself whatever you like.
There's nothing left to buy.
But if I know you, you'll think of something.
Are we doing anything special tonight?
Why?
For my birthday.
Oh, I'd love to, but I've got an appointment.
Really?
Well, actually, it's a date.
A date date? With a lady?
Yes, yes, with a lady. A very beautiful lady. Sapphire diamond. And, oh, she'll be here in a minute.
What's she do?
Oh,
Well, she's a model, of course. I only date models now. And Sapphire's a supermodel. Hey, do you want to see one of her adverts?
A plastic bottle's opened.
Bock Blitz kills all known germs dead and leaves your toilet smelling strongly of bleach. Bock Blitz.
You didn't even see her face.
When I say supermodel, I mean hand model. Super hand model, you have to admit, they're absolutely knockout.
A Miss Sapphire Diamond, sir.
Is he real?
Yes. Sapphire, my angel, how lovely to see you again.
All right.
I see you got the designer bag I bought you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, cheers, you know, and all that stuff. Ken?
Len?
Had you seen that they do these in 8 different colours? One for every day of the week?
My sweet princess, I shall get you all the others.
Oh, no, you mustn't.
Okay, I won't, Len.
No, if you insist. Yeah. What's that?
Ah, this is my son, Joe. He's 12 today.
Oh, people who think I'm a sister.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 25.
Really?
Yeah, says so on my Wikipedia page.
Remind me to have a Google.
Yeah, I will. So, where are you taking us tonight, babes?
Somewhere swish. Mm-hmm. For a spot of dinner. Do you like caviar?
No.
Then, I thought we'd go for a little bop down the disco.
No one calls them discos anymore.
What are they called then?
Nightclubs. Get with the beat, Grandad.
Len looks offended.
All right then, Den.
Len.
If you like.
He takes a hand.
Help us up.
Warwick brings her jacket.
Madam? Oops. May I trouble you to sign this, sir?
What is it?
Oh, just some triviality concerning young Master Spud's schooling. Thank you, sir.
Shall we take the car or the helicopter?
I'm not sure about that, Sapphire.
I'll give it time. Now, you might have to give it quite a lot of time, but there is some good news. Look, your wish has come true. You are going to the local comp.
You're the best.
I know, but thank you.
Joe's at home, sitting at one end of a vast dining table, as Len's being measured up by a tailor at the other end.
Can we do this later? Joe? What happened to your school uniform?
I'm wearing it.
I mean, your Tudor one.
Oh, it's well what you like day to day.
And you're going as?
A boy from local comp. Horace and Farquhar thought it'd be jokes.
You're past.
Oh, at last. This'll go with my new teeth.
Warwick double takes as Len excitedly removes a toupee from the box and covers his ball patch with it, before calling out to Joe.
Do you think it makes me look younger?
It looks like a dead gerbil.
What do you think?
Do you want my honest opinion, sir?
Not really.
Then it's a thing of wonder.
Thanks.
Oh, now, don't want to be late for school, Master Spud.
Come here, son. Almost forgot.
A wad of cash.
Here's your lunch money.
See you later, Dad.
See ya.
Joe heads off, leaving his toast untouched on a plate. Later, he's in the back seat as Warwick drives the gleaming white car past two schoolboys on a pavement.
Oi, posho!
Lend us a tenner.
You may not wish them to know that you're a billionaire.
Right. Turn in here.
As uniformed pupils head down the street, Warwick pulls up in a side road. Then Joe glances down at his new-looking checkered school bag and sighs.
Do you have another bag?
Just this plastic one. Cost me 5p, but you can have it.
Thanks. Do you think things will be better at my new school?
It will go wonderfully.
Yeah, my big chance. Gonna make new friends. Gonna be great. Thanks for this.
A sign reads Ruffington High School. Doing the best we can.
Morning, headmaster.
Yes, yes, good morning. Now, please, leave me alone.
Joe joins the throngs of pupils and glances at the sign as another boy approaches the head teacher.
Sir?
No, don't hurt me.
I wasn't going to.
Well, what is it? I'm just trying to get to my office. Can I just get to my office, please?
I just wondered whether I could come and see you later about something.
I'd really rather you didn't. Thank you so much.
Did you see that, Rolls?
Yeah.
There was a chauffeur and everything.
Oh, no.
I wonder what spoiled rat were in the back.
A boy and girl confront Joe.
You're new.
That's right. I'm Joe. I've just moved into the area. To an average-sized house. I'm Gail Grubb. And this is my twin brother, George Grubb.
In case you're wondering, where are the school bullies?
As it's your first day, we'll be putting you in the bin to start with.
What?
If you have any complaints, you can write to our mum at this address.
Why do you have to bully me?
We're not really good at anything else.
But we're very good at this.
Now, come on. Let's get this over and done with.
Later, Joe calls out from inside the large bin. A passing teacher opens the lid.
Anyone?
What on earth are you doing in there?
I fell.
Later, in class.
Thank you. This is Joseph Spud. He's new, and this is the last time he'll ever be late for registration. It doesn't need discussion. Now, we're going to start the day with a little La Bohème by Puccini.
Not opera again, miss.
Listening to classical music is good for the brain, Gavin, which in your case needs all the help it can get. Are you still standing, Spud? Sit.
A timid-looking Joe takes a seat at a desk near the front of the class by a boy who has a spare seat beside him. The boy reaches out and carefully removes a leaf that's tangled into Joe's hair, then leans towards him.
The cops put you in the bin, did they?
Joe nods.
Upside down or right way up?
Right way up.
They must have liked you. I'm Bob.
Joe.
Silence! Now, Madeline has got another one of her charity appeals. What is it this time, Madeline? Save the jellyfish, hearing aids for dogs, equal rights for hamsters.
I'm raising money to build a school in Africa, miss.
Oh.
Lots of kids there never get the chance to go to school.
Look at them.
It doesn't need discussion.
So please, give what you can.
I'm not giving anything.
My dad says I'll just spend it on scratch cards.
Do you organise all of this?
Yeah, on my own.
How much does it cost to build a school in Africa, then?
About £100,000.
That's not much.
Joe reaches to his pocket, then spots his classmates staring at him open-mouthed.
Shame. I'm skint.
Give it here.
Maddie approaches, and the teacher puts a coin into her collecting tin.
Well, that was another waste of time, wasn't it, young lady? Barely enough to buy a pencil sharpener.
At home, Warwick finds Len with his tailor, wearing a shiny blue shirt and loud patterned jacket.
How do I look?
There are no words.
Warwick shows in Sapphire, pulling the double doors hard so they close on her. In return, she drops her coat on the floor beside him.
Your lunch guest, sir.
cocktails.
What's that thing on your head?
Do you not like it, my sweet?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Then I love it.
Thanks. There you go, then.
No, 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 can't accept that.
Well, if you'd rather not.
No, if you insist.
Opening a gift box, she finds earrings.
Real diamond?
Of course.
Oh, thanks, Ben.
It's Len.
Is it? Oh, these are beautiful.
Oh, come here.
Is there a gift receipt?
Yes, it's in the bag.
Yeah, you know, just in case they don't fit like...
They're earrings.
I know, but I've got very small ears. So, with this gift receipt, will they give us the cash or will I have to buy something else from the same shop?
Either.
Great. Right, what's for lunch, because I can't stay long?
The finest Fin de Clare oysters, madam.
Oh, just get us a bag of crisps.
Yeah, me and all.
I'll ask Chef to prepare a multi-pack.
At school...
It's best to stick to the basics. That's Mrs. Trafe, worst cook in the world. And any parallel worlds.
Hello, boy. Do you want to know about my specials today?
Not really.
For starter, I've done my chilled pilchard soup. The pie today is kidney and custard. And for pud, I've done my wool running mousse.
No thanks.
Spam smoothie?
Just an apple, please, Mrs. Trafe. Same here, Mrs. Trafe.
Oh, suit yourself.
She can't ruin those.
Mrs. Trafe scratches her bum and picks up two apples that she coughs over.
They are two nice, fresh, juicy apples.
Len's at one end of his huge dining table with Sapphire at the other. Food flies from their plates as they both pick at them with knives and forks.
How are your crisps?
They move to see one another past candlesticks and exotic fruit.
Bit dry.
Would you like some champagne to wash them down with?
No. But I'll take a bottle home with us, though.
Len frowns and nods, then Sapphire looks around.
So, how much is a gaff like this worth, then?
20 million.
She looks thoughtful but confused.
How much is a half of that?
10 million.
Interesting.
Joe's with Bob.
You should have started here tomorrow.
Why?
It's a cross-country run today. 3 miles of hell. Hope you sport it.
No, I hate sport. I'm rubbish at it.
Me too. I come last every year. It's horrible. All the other kids wait at the finish line to laugh at you.
Oh, no.
How's the modelling going?
Oh, yeah, it's busy, busy, busy. These bad boys have been really in demand lately.
I'll bet.
Yeah, I've been on the go all week. Shooting my commercials. Yeah. I've held a Cornish pasty, a hearing aid, and some athlete foot powder.
Were your feet in the athlete's foot advert?
No. They said my feet were too manky.
Glamorous work, though.
Oh, yeah. I tell you what, though, Gwen.
Len.
I would consider giving up my glittering international career if the reet bloke came along, like.
She eyes him while crunching a crisp. Then Len glances surreptitiously at Warwick and nods knowingly in Sapphire's direction. The butler frowns disapprovingly. On the cross-country run, Joe and Bob are struggling along at the back, looking exhausted.
Bob! What if I gave you a fiver?
Come last.
No way! Tenner? Nah. 20. There's nothing...
50 quid.
You ain't got 50 quid.
Joe produces a folded-up note from his pocket and hands it to him as they stop running. Bob opens it with a look of wonder. The other runners are standing in two parallel lines, forming a tunnel, as Bob and Joe approach across the playing field. A frowning PE teacher is waiting at the end of the tunnel with a stopwatch.
You can do it, Bob!
Bob stands panting in front of the teacher.
Last again, boy.
Sorry, sir.
Don't worry. We could do extra training every morning before school.
The other boys head off, then Joe pats Bob's shoulder.
Thanks.
Later, the two boys are back in uniform.
Look, Joe, I feel bad. I can't keep your birthday money.
No, really? You earned it.
I can't take it. What does your dad do?
He works in toilet paper.
Dinner must have saved for ages to give you that. Here, take it.
My mum used to work in a toilet paper factory, but she was laid off.
What's she doing now?
Cleaner, and about six other jobs to try and make ends meet.
Then you keep it.
I can't. But there was one thing you could get me for coming last year.
Anything?
Some chocolate. I love chocolate.
Me too.
Come on.
Raj's news.
Maybe not here.
Aha! My very most valued customer. And welcome, mother child.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, Raj. If your name is Raj, because I don't know you, do I?
From my luxury selection. A double-double decker? Mintadero? Or an income boost?
No, thank you.
Oh.
I don't want my new friend to know I'm rich. He'll ruin everything.
Ah, I get the picture.
Raj puts away the luxury selection. Then Bob approaches the counter and picks up a bar of chocolate.
Is this okay?
Sure. Just as please, sir.
No problem, boys. Just two ordinary boys, neither of who is a billionaire.
Bob gives Joe a sidelong glance.
By the way, I love the brand new Bum Fresh Minty flavor. It's cool and refreshing on my bottom. I just wipe and go.
Why is he talking about his bum? No idea. Just smile and wave.
They both do so, backing towards the door. At school, Bob and Joe blow air into two paper bags, then pop them as the headmaster walks along the corridor between them. After counting their change outside a takeaway, Bob and Joe emerge with some snacks that they share. In a park, Joe hands the remote control for a car to Bob, then they watch in dismay as he drives it into a lake. In class, Joe throws down his pen in frustration, then Bob shows him his work while the teacher isn't looking. Holding a throwing ring, Bob gestures for Joe to keep moving backwards, but when he finally lets fly, his friend's actually standing beside him. In a montage, the boys toss stones into a stream. Bob drops the throwing ring over Joe's head. They play fight with imaginary swords. Then they're walking along in their school uniform, sharing a pair of earphones. At Bumfresh Towers, Warwick's dusting a ceramic bulldog, while Len sits at his desk, making paper aeroplanes from £50 notes and looking bored.
Shame Sapphire had to go.
Well, such is the life of a supermodel. Those pork pies won't sell themselves.
So, what do you think of her?
Is it an honest answer you're looking for, sir?
Again, not really, no.
Then I think Miss Sapphire is an utter delight.
Oh, you know,
I think I might propose to her.
Warwick knocks over an ornament.
I thought the day would never come.
He carries on dusting. Pupils stream through the school gates with their coats and bags. Then they're milling around as Joe sits on a bench beside Bob, who's tucking into a snack.
Look, Bob, there's something I should tell you. When I said my dad worked in toilet paper...
Oi! Give us that chocolate.
I've only got a tiny piece left.
Bob, if you don't give us it, I'm going to give you a bog wash.
Actually, let's take the chocolate and still give him the bog wash. There's no point giving it to you then. Run!
After Joe stuffs the chocolate in his mouth, he and Bob leg it as the grubs give chase. In school, they hide round a corner as the bullies run past along the corridor. The boys double back, then round a corner to find Gail and George blocking their way.
Oh no! Run that way, I'll run this way!
Bob spots Julie, who's cleaning.
Hi, Mum.
Oh, hi, how's it going with your new friend?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Invite him round for tea if you like.
Maybe.
The grubs catch up with Joe.
Got you!
Look, couldn't we do a deal?
A deal?
Later, Joe's beside Bob in class as their teacher, Miss Sharp, sits at her desk with her eyes closed, gently moving a hand to the music. Her pupils nudge each other and giggle. Then one speaks up.
Do you really like opera then, Miss?
I love it, Izzy. My dream is to go and see one at the Royal Opera House one day.
Why don't you then?
On a teacher's measly salary. I hardly think so. Homework, please, Maddie.
As Maddie collects up people's homework, Joe checks his bag.
Sorry, miss. I left mine at home.
I did it, I swear.
Litter duty.
But, miss, I'm not lying. I could get someone to bring it in.
You've got 1 hour to get it to me. Now, medieval torture.
You'd know all about that.
Be relieved I didn't hear that, Joe.
He and Bob stare at her, open-mouthed. After class, Joe texts Warwick, who's standing on a snooker table vacuuming it. When he checks his phone, the message reads, "I've left my history homework in my room. Could you bring it to school ASAP, please, Wicket? Thanks, smiley face." He's about to do so when Len spots him.
Wait! What's going on?
Len fixes him with a questioning look. Then Joe checks his watch as he waits on the playing field with Bob. Suddenly, his attention's drawn to the sky.
Oh, no.
A helicopter's approaching. Pupils scatter as the red chopper with "bum air, wipe and go" written on the side lands on the grass. Bob grins beside Joe as Len jumps from the cockpit in a red flying suit, holding a megaphone.
That's crazy.
Carrying a large bag of loo rolls, Len runs towards the assembled crowd and lifts the megaphone to his lips.
Hi everybody, are you alright? My name is Len Spud and I am the Bumfresh Billionaire! Right! Who wants free bog roll? You minty flavour! Come on, you over there! Who's gonna get lucky? Is it you? Here you go!
Please, Dad, no.
That's your dad?
Excuse me. Excuse me. Ah, there you are. There is your homework.
Now, my son is a bit short on friends, so you're all more than welcome to come over to the mansion anytime!
Dad!
Oh,
your lunch money. I'll pick you up at 4.
A walk.
Bye, everybody. And don't forget, wipe and go with Bumfresh. See ya.
The crowd parts, and Len runs back to the helicopter wearing dark glasses. Then Joe looks down at the exercise book his dad gave him and runs off. Joe arrives panting in Miss Sharp's classroom, where she's busy marking.
You're 5 seconds late. Litter duty.
You must be kidding me.
A week's litter duty.
That's not fair.
1 month's litter duty. Or do you want me to treat you differently because your father's a billionaire?
No, I don't want that.
Well then, you better get started. That helicopter of his has made a frightful mess.
Joe turns away and sighs. On the playing field, Joe's putting litter in a bin bag when a throng of school children crowd around him.
Billionaire boy, my bike's broken. Buy me a new one.
Would you buy a banana bungalow? In Florida?
Hit me, then I can shoot you for $1 million.
Hit me and I'll settle for $500,000.
Buy me back a crisp.
Leave him alone! You should be ashamed of yourself. Shoot! Oh, you poor thing.
Well, not poor, but you get my gist. Yeah. I mean, just because your dad is obscenely rich, you don't want people begging. Here, have a toffee Brussels sprout.
Thanks, but no thanks.
And Joe, I want you to know, whatever happens, I'm always here for you, all right?
Thanks.
Now I just need 30 grand for my hip operation.
Outside, Joe's on litter duty when Bob approaches.
You missed a bit. Why did you lie to me?
No, I thought you'd treat me differently.
The grubs just asked me if I wanted to go round to theirs after school to play Hungry Hippos. Did you pay them to be friends with me?
I was just trying to help.
A real friend wouldn't lie to me.
I'm sorry.
Missed another bit.
Later, Joe's at home.
Litter duty! I did not single-handedly revolutionise the toilet paper world to have my son do litter duty!
It's my teacher, Miss Sharp. It's really horrible.
Could you have her killed?
Bit much, that. I'll sort it out.
Please don't embarrass me like you did today with your stupid helicopter.
Don't worry. I'll think of something.
So, anyways, it's my birthday in just under a year, Sven.
Len?
What ups? As the young people say, because I'm 25. And before you say another word, I do not need a present.
No.
I forbid it.
I must.
You must not.
I want to.
No, none. 9.
Okay, then.
I've made a little list.
Thank you.
Joe shakes his head as Len reads it.
Designer gear. A massive, like, really big yacht. A holiday home in Marbs with its own jacuzzi.
No, jacuzzi. Oh, just give it here. Give it here. Right, a bucket of diamonds, some money, a Bentley controversial.
I think you mean a Bentley convertible.
It's the same thing. A tiara, some more money, and a 12-pack of Fabergé eggs.
Anything for you, my little bird of paradise.
Dad, you're not really going to buy her all that stuff, are you?
Why have you not, son?
Yeah? Why not, brat?
Because it's obvious you only like my dad for his money.
Dare you?
Go to your rooms!
Joe does as he's told.
I'm so sorry, Sapphire. I just don't know what to do with him.
Orphanage?
Outside the school, Joe's walking alone towards the gates. As he heads through, Bob appears briefly beside him before they go their separate ways. Len's in the headmaster's office.
It's about my boy, Joe. Now, there is one tiny little thing that you could change to make him happier here at school.
Well, I have to run the school for everyone. I can't give anyone special treatment, however immensely wealthy they might be.
Len nods and sits down opposite the headmaster, who leans back, looking uneasy. Then Len's gaze falls on the old-fashioned-looking bicycle beside his desk. A sleek yellow sports car makes a stuttering approach into the school car park and comes to a halt. Pupils stare, and members of staff step smartly out of the way as it parks across two spaces. Then, the headmaster awkwardly extricates himself from the low-slung front seat, wearing dark glasses. Closing the door, he slips his shades into a jacket pocket and nods to a watching group of pupils. Later, Miss Sharp leaves the front entrance, carrying her belongings in a cardboard box, and spots the headmaster peeping through his window blinds.
How dare you sack me? I gave this school everything, everything!
Just keep it down, Miss Sharp.
Ding dong, the witch is dead!
Miss Sharp was a good teacher, she didn't deserve that. We've got to do something. Sacked? On the spot?
Oh, poor old cow, she was a good teacher. Firm, but fair. Oh, she loved her pupils more than they knew. Though, she was once very hurtful about my lamb trifle.
Mrs. Treve?
Yes?
You look different.
Oh, thank you, I've just had my hair done.
Did you get the hip replacement? The one I gave you all that money for?
Can I interest you in today's special, curried pigeon? Pigeons are all free range. I shoot them off the roof myself with my catapult.
You spent it all on plastic surgery.
Oh. I'll have the hip op next time, I promise. Now I just need another 30 grand.
Unbelievable.
Joe's with the head.
What's this?
A petition to get Miss Sharp reinstated, sir.
Two signatures.
It's just me and Maddie so far.
Please, sir. Teach them's all she lived for.
I'm sorry, Joe.
No, I just can't do that.
Nope.
He makes his car lights flash with the remote key.
Is that yours, sir?
It might be, yes. Why?
What's so unusual about me having a car that goes from 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds with a top speed of 204 miles an hour?
It was my dad, wasn't it?
Joe's sitting alone on a bench outside as other boys play nearby when Bob wanders up.
Joe?
Yeah?
Not bought yourself a new friend yet then?
Ha-ha.
Bob puffs out his cheeks, then sits down next to Joe.
I'm sorry we fell out.
Yeah, me too. Look, I know you don't have much.
So?
So I guess I feel sorry for you. Why don't you just take this? I don't want your lousy money! You can't buy people, Joe! Has no one taught you that? You know what?
What?
I feel sorry for you.
As Bob walks away, Joe watches, then stuffs the cash back in his pocket. A line of high-end cars are parked up outside Bumfresh Towers that's lit up against the night sky. Inside, Joe walks past illuminated letters that read, Party, then through double doors into a huge hall that's packed with well-dressed people dancing and drinking. A large inflatable Santa looks down on the gathering that features a chocolate fountain, a DJ, and Warwick holding a tray of cocktails while wearing ear defenders. Joe spots Len, dancing on his own in a glittery gold jacket.
Dad?
Yeah?
I need to talk to you about something.
Okay!
And I know where all these people.
Partychums.com!
Why are you having a party?
Because I got some great news!
What?
Me and Sapphire got engaged!
No!
Yes! Isn't it wonderful?
I'm gonna be your new mum! Luke! It cost 50 million!
Dad?
Yeah?
Did you get my teacher sacked?
No! Well, maybe a bit. I just bought your Headmaster a little sports car.
You can't buy people, Dad. There's nobody taught you that.
It only costs 400 grand. I'll get you one if you like.
I don't want any more stuff. I've got more than enough.
You can never have enough, son.
Yes, you can. But what do I end up like you? An old man in a wig with a fiancé who doesn't even love him.
Len turns to Sapphire.
I never want to see either of you ever again!
Sapphire's delighted grin turns to a look of forced concern as Len glances at her. Then he knocks on Joe's bedroom door as his son's packing a bag.
Joe, open this door! Joe!
With a glance at his old toilet roll rocket, Joe climbs out of the window. Warwick's baking cakes.
Oh, no. Burnt again.
He's locked himself in his room.
Oh, dear.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, of course, sir.
Have I been a bad father?
Do you want an honest answer?
Yes, definitely. This time, tell me the truth.
Yes. You have.
Len looks away as this sinks in. Joe's walking the dark streets alone with his bag, still wearing his school uniform. His shadow falls on a brick wall beside the pavement as he walks, then his fingers reaching out to press a doorbell. The door's opened by Bob. Joe gives a little wave as the two boys face each other with serious expressions.
I wanted to say sorry. I've been an idiot.
Yes, you have.
A big, stinking idiot.
Probably bigger than that.
Bob grins and they hug each other. Then Joe gestures over his shoulder.
I ought to go and say sorry to Maddie now.
No need. She's here.
We felt really sorry for Miss Sharp, so we've made her a Christmas hamper, mince pies and a leaflet about deforestation.
It's all my fault. My dad got the sack. But I've got a plan to make it better. The thing is, I need your help.
Later, Joe visits Miss Sharp.
Oh, it's you. It's the middle of the night.
Miss, I'm sorry you lost your job. It's all my fault. I got you these.
Thank you, I suppose.
Oh! There's one more thing.
What?
Now!
A lorry pulls up on the street. Then Maddie and Bob position a lamp and a regal-looking chair on the pavement, which Miss Sharp sits in as Maddie holds the flowers Joe's just given her. The driver rolls back the side of the lorry to reveal classical musicians and a conductor on a gold-framed stage, with Bryn Terfel standing in silhouette in the centre. Miss Sharp watches open-mouthed.
You never got to go to the opera, so we brought one to you.
You put on all this just for me?
Yeah. What do you think?
It's the most generous thing anyone's ever done for me.
Miss Sharp grips Joe's hand as the performance continues.
Don't cry, miss.
It doesn't need discussion.
Tears glisten on Miss Sharp's cheeks. Fireworks light up the night. Then Joe's with Bob and Maddie the next day.
That must have cost a fortune. It pretty much cleared out my account. But I had a bit of money left. I want you to have it. Build that school in Africa.
Thank you. You've done a good thing.
She kisses Joe's cheek.
See you tomorrow, Joe. I'm broke. So you're buying the chocolate. Deal.
Raj is outside his shop in his dressing gown.
Joe, what are you doing out in the cold? Come, come in.
Raj carries a stack of newspapers into the shop and turns on a light.
Ah, let me make you a nice hot mug of Lelt.
I'm fine.
Oh, I feel so very sorry for you and your father.
Why?
Have you not seen the headlines? Look.
A front page reads, Bumfresh billionaire faces ruin.
And on the TV as well. Everywhere I looked this morning, wall to wall, purple bottoms.
The Bumfresh toilet tissue scandal continues to escalate amid allegations that the new Minty Fresh brand is causing painful purple rashes. Stock prices plummeted overnight, leaving CEO Len Spud facing financial ruin.
I've lost everything. Every penny I've got. But all I want back is my beautiful boy. He ran away from home last night. I've been worried sick, So Joe, out there, please come home. I love you, son. Good.
Mr. Spud,
go. I want
to know. A tearful Len retreats from the reporters. Then Raj turns off the TV and looks at Joe.
He don't really care about me. All he cares about is money.
You know, I was once a very rich man with huge chain of newsagent shops.
How many did you have?
Two. I had literally tens of pounds in my pocket. But I was working so hard, I forgot to spend time with my wife. I bought her lavish presents. Flowers from the garage. Jewelry, also from the garage. But all she really wanted was me.
That's all I want. Spend time with my dad.
You have just seen it. Your father loves you very much. Let me take you home.
Joe nods his head. Satellite trucks have joined the luxury cars outside Bunfresh Towers, where a gaggle of journalists are waiting as Raj's moped approaches along the drive with Joe on the back. Raj parks up, and he and Joe remove their crash helmets.
There he is!
Raj keeps the crowd back as he turns to Joe.
You're going to, I'll deal with this.
If I may make a short statement. Are we live?
Yes!
Everyone come to Raj's show. I have very special offer on travel.
Joe meets Sapphire on the steps.
Where's that?
Who cares? It's bankrupt!
She totters towards the car park with her bag.
There's Sapphire Diamond!
Startled, Sapphire stumbles and her bag falls open, spilling wads of cash that she hastily tries to gather up as journalists encircle her with microphones and cameras. Inside the house, a dejected-looking Len sitting in his robe and pyjamas, still wearing his toupee, as removal men take away boxes of stuff on a trolley. Unseen, Joe walks in and looks around the almost empty room.
Dad?
Joe! Joe! I was so worried.
Sorry I ran away.
No, I'm sorry. I wasn't a good dad. I've lost everything, son. And Sapphire's left me.
I think maybe she wasn't the one.
But I've got you. And you're still the most precious thing I have.
Yeah.
I would make you one last cup of tea, but the bailiffs have taken the cups. And the tea. Master Spud?
I hope you've got a job to go to.
Yes, sir. A panto.
Snow White?
No. Jack and the Beanstalk. I'm playing the giant.
Warwick winks at Joe and leaves. A man dressed in black comes in and stands expectantly in front of Len, who looks up at his curly hairpiece, before reluctantly handing it over. As the man leaves, Len turns to Joe.
Now, is there anything you want to go and get from your bedroom before they take it all away?
No. Well, actually, there is one thing.
He heads off, then returns, as Len's looking out of the window at the removal van. Joe's holding the toilet roll rocket.
You made it. And that's what made it more special than anything.
Come here, son.
They hug.
No. Knock, knock.
Julie!
Hello, Len.
It's not been the best of days.
Oh, it's okay. We understand.
You two know each other already?
Yeah. We used to work at the factory together.
We had some happy times.
They share a smile as Bob and Joe watch.
We saw you on the news.
Look, we thought you might want to come to ours for Christmas dinner. I mean, it won't be fancy schmancy.
Joe nods.
We'd like that. We'd like that very much.
Later, the four of them are happily having dinner together. Len and Julie pull a cracker as fairy lights shine in the window.
So we lost a fortune, but found a new family. And who knows? Maybe we'll live happily ever after.